RMJ, the recreational marijuana situation. Some folks are saying, well, let's pay for some of the flood mitigation and damage with taxes on it. But other folks are wondering why city council is even talking about it right now with the flood issues being so pressing.
Well, it's my personal belief that sometimes the best thing you can do to help a community heal is to try and get back on your feet and get back to normal as quickly as possible. And granted, for some folks, they'll never be back to where they were prior to, you know, the events of this summer. You know, the voters passed Amendment 64, and even then, as a local official, I knew, well, it's going to be us, the boots on the ground, they're going to have to deal with this. And so we've been waiting to see what some of the other entities in El Paso County are going to do. But, you know, it passed with 68% in Manitou Springs, and that's a pretty strong number. The question now is that did people vote for that just to legalize the use of marijuana, the growing of marijuana for personal consumption, or did they fully contemplate there might be retail pot stores? So we were some of us on council were ready to go with what we call an advisory vote or a straw vote this November. The Amendment 64 doesn't allow a community to have a full vote until November of 2014. We thought maybe we'd found a nice little way around that and have a straw poll, but the city council voted that down last Tuesday. I think there's a majority on council that are ready to move forward with regulations and licensing.
Andrea.
I just want to add to that. The state has set sort of a deadline by October 1st that the individual entities have to move forward or deny recreational marijuana in
the individual municipalities.
Yes,
okay.
or the counties, the different jurisdictions mm-hmm. have to just basically decide what they want to do. At the same time, there's going to be a ballot issue on how to tax recreational marijuana. So the income that is potential from recreational marijuana is still a very long way away, and so you can't use the money that's not there yet. So that's one reason why that money is not being used.
Well, we'd actually have council has decided to put a tax measure on for this November, a municipal tax measure that would allow us to levy a tax of up to 10%.
Is that the maximum that the city can levy?
No, I think there – I don't know that there is an absolute maximum. But, you know, there's so many facets to this. But one of the biggest argument proponents have is a way to maybe eliminate or certainly reduce the black market. And if you add too many taxes on there, then, you know, that kind of defeats that whole argument. So between the two state tax measures and now our municipal tax measure, it'll be very interesting for us when we meet after that November 5 election. We did put a moratorium in place until December 31. And my understanding, the October 1 deadline really just requires a municipality to designate someone to be the recipient of applications. So I don't know if you have to make an affirm decision one way or the other, but there is some administrative requirement
right.
for the October
right.
deadline.
It's not, you know, you can decide after a moratorium not to go it, or you can decide to do it. It's almost a take some sort of action by October 1st is the way I read it.
Me too. So you have to designate, like I said, some process, some point of contact for potential applicants so they at least have some way to communicate and to, you know, get their placehold in, I guess would be mm-hmm. it. But the council, you know, it's very hard. People want to make a decision right away. I don't have all the information I need. You know, if there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, it's a whole different analysis on whether or not to allow retail pot stores or not.
What are some of the pitfalls of having the retail stores, but not just having them, but being the first municipality to have the retail stores that you foresee?
There is some concern in our community about being the first or perhaps the only entity between Pueblo County and Denver who will allow stores. And, you know, the worry is that you might create this pot culture or create an unwanted infusion of pot tourism. I remind everybody, we heard a lot of the same arguments with the dispensaries. And so we move forward, ultimately licensed two dispensaries in Manitou, absolutely a non-issue. We had no increases in police calls, no increases in activity with youth having greater access. We also didn't realize much revenue. I think we're still under $300 for our grand total for our experiment with medical marijuana dispensary. So I'm not budgeting in 2014 for any any marijuana-related revenues. It's a really fascinating issue when you just study all the many aspects of it. I recognize there is some potential there, and I'm really at this point, given the flooding potential and some of the threats we're having, the thought that, you know, maybe a significant portion of our commercial downtown could be severely impacted by a future event, I'm not taking anything off the table.
Manitou seems to have had this combination of great fortune and really bad luck over the past decade. When I moved back to Colorado in 2001, we moved into Manitou, and it was asleep in the winter. You know, the spa building was fenced off and boarded up. There was really not much to do, and I was fascinated with how quickly things turned around in the past decade. And here we are. The incline is hugely popular. Business has been booming, and then all of a sudden the fire and the flooding. Do you see ways to stabilize this combination of good luck and bad luck as we go forward?
Well, we are very, very fortunate. We have a lot of admirers and supporters, not just in the Pikes Peak region, but in Colorado and really around the country. And they've been so wonderful. During the Waldo Canyon fire, we got the message out that our businesses were really hurting, and so many people came out. I don't know how many, countless people I talked to said, yeah, we live up in Longmont or Pueblo, and we heard you guys needed some help, and we love this place, so we came down, we decided we'd spend the weekend here, or even if they just came for the day, they came down and shopped and had meals, and that really helped us last summer bridge the gap. This year, after the August 9th flood, I was so humbled to see, you know, 400 or 500 people there at 7:30 in the morning the next day with shovels and boots saying, how can we help? So we're going to be relying on the little help from our friends, I think, for a little while longer.
All right. Mark Snyder and Andrea Chalfin, thank you both very much.
Thanks, Noel.
Thank you.
One fine morning, I'm gonna ride out one fine morning. I'm gonna ride out just me and the skeleton crew.